We're up to the last of the mitzvahs asay that the Rambam is adding on to the minyan of the Rambam, number 17. Here he only writes he's adding on 17. He added on many more than 17. So the 17th is regarding ribbis. There is a prohibition in the Torah that you're not allowed to charge interest when you lend money to a fellow Jew. There are four kinds of ribbis. There's ribbis deraisa, that's called ribbis kitzutza. Kitzutza means that I fix and I set the amount at the time that I lend the money to the other person. So I lend him $1,000 and I want 10% interest at the end of every year. So that's ribbis kitzutza. So it's an avera to charge ribbis and it's an avera to collect the ribbis. And the Ramban quotes, the Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Loza regarding ribbis kitzutza. Let's say at the end of the year, a fellow gives him back the $1,000. He gives him back an additional $100. That's the 10%. Ribbis kitzutza. So the Gemara has a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer. After I pay back the 100, the 10% interest, then I realize that we all did an avera, and I asked the malve, can you please give me back the $100 that I gave you b'avera? So Rabbi Lozer, so Rabbi Yochanan says, Rafal, I don't get it back. And we passed like Rabbi Lozer against Rabbi Yochanan, which is unusual. Rabbi Lozer was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. It's unusual we be passing like the Talmud against the Rav. The Ribbis Kitzutza is Yotze B'dayonim. And this is based on a pasuk in Chumash. It says you should, when you lend money to another person, you shouldn't charge any interest. And then it says, V'chei Achicha Imach. What does that mean? So Rabbi Yochanan says you shouldn't charge any interest. You shouldn't skin him alive. You shouldn't rip him off. V'chei Achicha Imach. Let him live. And we pass like Rabbi Lozer that that's not what it means. V'cheyachichi imach means, and if you took the interest, you have a mitzvah to give it back. V'cheyachichi imach, ahadalai, give him back the $100. K'hechadalai imach, that he should be able to live. So the Ramban says, this should be counted as a separate mitzvah sase, that the ribbis kitzutza has to be returned to the loiva. The loiva paid the keren with the ribbis, you have a mitzvah to give it back. Those who learned Kiddushin will remember that in the first parak in Kiddushin, the Gemara talks a little bit about the ribbis there. And in Shulchan Aruch, they have a discussion based on that Gemara. What would be the din in the following case? A case like that, I lent the loiva $1,000 and I say I expect to get 10% interest at the end of the year. At the end of the year, he gives me a $1,000 check and then he gives me a $100 bill and he says, this $100, this is the ribbis. The 10% interest with $1,000. I take the $100, b'aveira. He's open aveira. I'm open. I take the $100 and I give it to a girl and say, Hareat mukudeshesli. Is she mukudeshes ana? It's unclear in the Gemara what the din is. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote a machlekes whether the girl will be mukudeshes ana. The Sam Rishonim say, you had no right to take it. It's stolen property. It doesn't belong to you. It's like I'm mekadesh begezel. If someone is mekadesh an isha, if I steal a ring from the jewelry store, the girl wants me to give her a nice ring under the chuppah. I can't afford it. I go to the store, I steal a ring, and I stand under the chuppah. I say, Areh Mekudesh. So the Kiddushin is not valid. I'm a Kaddish Begezel, Zaini Mekudesh. It doesn't belong to me. So some of the Rishonim say, the $100 that the Loiva gave me is Gezel. I have no right to keep it. I have to give it back. It's like Gezel is Yotze B'dayonim. And the Ritva is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as disagreeing, said, that's not true. This halacha that you have to give back the $100, the Gemara says, give him back the ribbis, the Gemara says, this din only applies if the loiva, if the malva is still alive. The malva who did the averin, who collected the ribbis, if he's still alive, he has to give back the money. What if he lent money to everybody and he charged interest to anybody and then he died and now his children have all the money and everything is labeled in envelopes. This is the ribbis from so and so, this is the extra ribbis from so and so. This, you know exactly which $100 bill came from whom, from which alvor. So the Gemara says that the Yorushim are not mechuyev to give back the ribbis. So the Ritva says he see beferish from the Gemara that the ribbis is not gezel. Let's say a man stole from all the neighbors. And everything is labeled. So this ring he stole from this jewelry store, and this necklace he stole from that store, and this furniture he stole from that store. And the man dies, and the children have all the stolen goods, and they know exactly where everything came from. Of course they have to give everything back. It doesn't belong to them. It doesn't belong to the father. They can't get it birusha. So from the fact that the Gemara says, L'didei azer rachmana, l'brei loy azer rachmana, the Torah requires that the malva has to give back the ribas that he collected. But once the malva dies, is Yerushim not obligated to give it back? So the Ritva says, does not indicate clearly that even though it's an avera to collect the ribas, but if he collects it, it's his, and it's not outright gzela. He did an avera by taking it, but it does belong to him. It's not gezel. It's a mitzvah. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah that he has to give it back. So that's exactly the taina of the Ramban. This should be counted as a separate mitzvah saseh among the 248 mitzvah saseh. It's a mitzvah on the part of the malva that he should give back the ribas. The Megillas Esther always comes to defend the Rambam. So he says, no, the Rambam doesn't feel it necessary to count this mitzvah. This is Beheshem Ishagzeilo. The ribas doesn't belong to him. Of course he has to give it back. You don't need a separate mitzvah. You don't have to count it as a separate mitzvah. It's a repeat. It's a kefala mitzvah of the old mitzvah of Heshem v'sagzeli. You don't need another pasuk. So the Abdi Nezer has a lot of tshuvas on Hilchas Ribbis. He has practically a running commentaries, practically sif by sif, on the Yoridei Hilchas Ribbis. He calls that section with a different title. He calls it Bris Achim. The word Ribbis is spelled in modern Hebrew is spelled Reish Yud Beis Tav. And in biblical Hebrew, Ribbis is spelled Reish Beis Yud Tav, which is the same letters as Bris, Beis Reish Yud Tav. So the Abdi Nezer assumes that we have like a club of all of Bnei Yisrael, and the members of the club, it's a violation of the rules of the club to charge each other interest. If you lend to a non-Jew, you can't charge interest. Or if the non-Jews lend to each other, they can charge interest. There's no aveir over here. Members of the club are not allowed to do it. So we have a bris achim that prohibits us from charging ribbis. So that's why he uses that title, all of Hilchas Ribbis. He writes practically, it's very interesting. There's a perek in Zeh Neshech and Bava Metzi has all the laws of ribbis, pretty complicated. So the laws of ribbis are unrelated to any other area of halacha. The laws of ribbis are just it's a self-contained perek. When you learn Gittin and Kiddushin and Bava Kama and Bava Metzi and Ksubis and Yivamis, there are a lot of places where everything is interconnected. Ribbis is separate from everything else. But the Avnei Nezer is a super genius. So when he wants to explain some sticky dinim in Hilchas Ribbis, he'll give you a mashal from another din. So he gives mashalim from all over Shas to explain Hilchas Ribbis. It's fantastic. It's like a running commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Avnei Nezer has a discussion of this machlekes between the Ramban and the Megillas Esther. So he says, this is basically the machlekes that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. If the Leibid pays me back the $1,000 halvor, he says, here's a $1,000 bill, this is the keren. Here's a $100 bill, this is the ribbis. If I'm a Kaddish and Isha with the $100, we'll should be Mekudeshes. They say it's Kitcha Begezel. The money doesn't belong to the Malva. He was never Koinen. That's what the Megillas Esther thinks. He thinks that that's the Shitas HaRambam. That's the reason why the Rambam didn't feel it necessary to count it as a separate mitzvah. It's simply Behesha V'Sagzela. And the Rambam thinks not so. No, the Malva is Koinen the money. And it's a mitzvah to give it back. And the Ritva was a Talmud of the Ramban. The Ritva was a Talmud of the Rabbaran Halevi, who in turn was a Talmud of the Ramban. So the Ritva very often follows the positions of the Ramban. So here is also, the Ritva in Shulchan Aruch says, if you mekadesh the Isha with the ribbis, she is mekudeshes. And he proves it from the Gemara. Only the Malva has the mitzvah to give back the ribbis. The Yorshim don't have the mitzvah. So you see, it's not like this. There is an interesting dispute in the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, where Hilchas Ribbis appear. The Gemara's Lashon is that Ribbis Kitzutzo, if it's Ribbis Deraisa, is Yotze B'dayonim. The Bezdin will force the Malva to give it back to the Lova. So there is an interesting machlekes. Does this din only apply if the lova was tovea the malva? The lova demands of the malva, I want you to give me back the ribbis. What if the lova doesn't ask for the money back? He's so appreciative. You lent me $1,000, and because of your $1,000 loan, I made investments, and I made billions of dollars. And I'm thrilled, and I'm happy to give you an extra $100. I'll give you an extra $1 million. I made billions of dollars with the. You did me such a taiva by lending me the $1,000. I'm thrilled to give you the $100. I'm not asking for the ribbis back. I didn't ask for it back. Is there still a mitzvah on the part of the malvit to return the ribbis or not? So that's a big dispute in the commentaries on Yeridei and Hilchos Ribbis. So some hold it's just a mitzvah, and the mitzvah only begins when the loiva asks for it back. If the loiva doesn't ask for it back, the mitzvah doesn't begin. And the others say, no, what are you talking about? It's gezel. It doesn't belong to the malva. The malva is mechuyev to give it back, even if the loiva never asks her. He has to give it back. So this is really a big issue. I mentioned before there are four kinds of ribbis. There's one that's ribbis deraisa, that's ribbis kitzutza. That's when I lend you $1,000, I say you can keep it for a year, and at the end of the year I want 10% interest, and you pay me back $1,100. That's a perfect example of ribbis kitzutza. Then you have ribbis sheina kitzutza, that's called avak ribbis. Avak means that it's not the actual aver itself, it's the dust of the aver. Like there's lashon hara, and there's avak lashon hara. Lashon hara the rabbanon. Lashon hara is, I say, you see that guy? He's always nibbling, he's always gnashing all day long. He's a fat slob, and he's always eating food. Avak lashon hara is, the Gemara gives an example, someone needs a fire for some purpose. So he says, where can I find the fire? So I said, in his house they're always cooking all day long. Maybe they have poor people all day long. But it sounds like they're always cooking because they're always eating food. So that's avak lashon hara. I didn't really say it, but it sounds like that. Or you have shmita and avak shviyas. The real din of shmita is if you till the field. If you work in the shnas hashmita, you plant something during shnas hashmita, that's the real mekoy. That's the real violation of shmita. Avak shviyas is the dust of the aver of shmita. Is if I have peris that grew in Eretz Yisrael, peris shviyas, and I sell them, and you're not allowed to. The din is la'ochlu v'lo l'schor. You're not allowed to make big business on the perish week. So that's how action is. So the Gemara has ribbis, deraisa, and avak ribbis. That's ribbis she'ena katsutza. For example, I lend you $1,000, and at the end of the year, you pay me $1,000. And then you say, at the end of the year, you're so appreciative that I lent you $1,000, I put you back on your feet, and you made $1 billion because I lent you. You invested, reinvested. You want to give me matana, give me another $10,000 back. Or you give me $100, whatever. You give me some money back. So the Gemara says that's not permissible. That's avak ribbis. So there's a difference between ribbis kitzutza and avak ribbis. The Gemara says ribbis kitzutza is yotze b'dayonim. I'm obligated to give him back the $100. Avak ribbis, it's an avera to give the ribbis. It's an avera to take it. But once I took it, I'm not obligated to give it back. But the proper thing is that you should give it back. That's a machlokes of Rishonim, and we pass on the Shulchan Aruch that b'dinei shamayim you should give it back.
Is there a way you could get around, like let's say somebody lends you $1,000 and he makes money and he wants to give you more money? Is there any way he could give you more money in another, like in a different way?
In Shulchan Aruch, they quote, there was always a practice that's been around for quite a few centuries of an iska. Let's say I have a man who knows how to invest wisely. I'm busy learning in the yeshiva. I don't have a head for this. I have no time for this. So I give the $1 million that I don't have. I give $1 million to this guy who knows how to invest well. And I said, invest well for me, and I give you a percentage of whatever you'll make. And you give me what I'm entitled to. So if I lend you $1,000, and I say, I want you to give me back interest, and that's ribbis, it's not allowed. If I give you $1,000 and I say, please invest it wisely, and make sure that I get a minimum of 10% revach on it. Whatever's more than 10%, you can get. So let's say you'll invest the money, and you lost all the money. So I'll say, I only want to believe you that you lost the money if you swear on a sefer Torah. And then you say later, you'd rather not swear on the Sefer Torah, you'd rather pay me the money. Because religious Jews don't want to swear even if it's true. If it's false, you're not allowed to swear. But if it's a Shua Alo Emes, you're allowed to swear. But the minig always was. It's a question where the minig comes from. But the Chasam Sofer quotes, that's the minig, that religious Jews always avoid swearing even if it's Emes. We don't want to swear, because Shua is such an Issa Chomer, if it'll be a Shua Sheker. So let's say I give you $1,000, not as a loan. If I give you as a loan, you can't pay back interest. I give you $1,000 to invest on my behalf. And I say invest it wisely and make sure that you make a lot of profit. And then let's say we'll make up. Anything above 10% you can keep, and anything below 10% goes to me. So then it's really an iska. You're investing the money for me. Like, what happens if you invested all the money and everything went, you lost all the money, went bankrupt? So we'll make an agreement. If you lost the money, you don't have to pay anything because it wasn't a loan. It was an iska. You're investing my money, but I don't want to have to believe you unless you swear on a sefer Torah. And then you can say later on, I'd rather not swear, rather than swear. I'd rather pay him the keren with the amount that he could have earned. So that's usually what's called an iska. They have different rabbanim, different organizations have a text of a heter iska. In the times of the Vilna Goyen, Vilna Goyen lived in Vilna, which is a city in Poland, okay, Lithuania, Poland, whatever. So the Vilna Goyen did not have any official capacity in Vilna. He learned there. There was a rabbi in Vilna at that time, and there was a dayan in Vilna. Vilna Goyen was not the rabbi, it was not the time. So once the dayan in Vilna had a dream that one of the balabatim who had passed away a half a year earlier appeared to him in a dream. He's all jaundiced, he's all yellow, and he looks like hell. He looks awful. So in the dream, the dayan asks him, what's the matter? You look awful. Where are you? You're in Gehenna. So he says, yeah, they nailed me on the ribbis. So he says, what do you mean ribbis? You never lent, but you always made a heter iska. So the Balabas says the Bezon Shalmaila doesn't recognize a heter iska. The Bezon Shalmata holds from it. Bezon Shalmaila doesn't hold from it. So the dayan woke up and he was all petrified and he told the story to different people. So he told it to the Vilna Goyen. So that's all he had to do. So the Vilna Goyen told it to everybody that you shouldn't rely on a heter iska because the guy was burning in Gehenna according to the dream of the dayan. The Balabas, who was observant on everything, and he lent with the heter iska, is burning again. And then the Vilna Goyen added on that in case you can't help yourself for your business purposes, you have to lend with the heter iska, but at least yomim naroim, you should be machmer. Like we're machmer on pasakum, and yomim naroim, and aseres mei tshuva. So the Vilna Goyen said, at least yomim naroim season, you should be machmer. And what's his definition of yomim naroim? So he said, from Rosh Chodesh Elul to after Simchas Torah. That's quite a Yom Naroi. 2 months from Rosh Chodesh Elul. Aseres Mei Tshuva is only 10 days. He said he should be Machmer from Rosh Chodesh Elul till after Simchas Torah. Heter iska is a problem. Most of the time when people lend with the heter iska, they don't even understand what the text is all about. They don't understand the whole thing. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer, the heter iska is not a tchina, it's not a prayer that fixes the Issa Ribis. You have to understand what it means. You have to understand you may lose your money. If you think that for sure you're going to get your money back, then it's not an iska, then it's a halvor. Halvor, the loiver is always mechuyev to pay. An iska, you have to realize he may swear on the Sefer Torah, and he may not have to pay you a penny. Anyway, so there are 4 kinds of ribis. There's 1 ribis, the rice, and 3 ribis, the rabbanon. So the first ribis, the rabbanon, is called avak ribis, like avak loshen hara, like avak shvius. Ribis ena ketzutza, I lent you $1,000 and you pay me back later. So the din is that you're not allowed to give it, but it's not yotze b'dayanim, but b'balotzis in shemaim, you should give it back. Yeah.
So how does the mortgage work in banks in Israel? Everyone is Jewish. Isn't heter iska based for the whole thing?
Every bank has a big sign, everything right. Is under heter iska. That's a question, yeah. Now, Moshe Feinstein has a heter that many do not accept.
Torah's lo v'shamayim, so the dream.
Okay. No, in Shulchan Aruch, they're very unhappy about the heter iska. For all the centuries, they're not too happy about the heter iska. I mean, if the bank lends me money, that's a problem. What about if I have a savings account? I put money in the bank, in a Jewish bank, and they're giving me interest. So it should also be an Issa Ribis. If it's a Jewish-owned bank, so that, in that direction, Moshe Feinstein has a heter which many do not accept. Moshe says, if I put my money in a savings account and the bank is going to pay me ribis, so who is the person who has the personal obligation? Who has the shibur aguf? The bank is a corporation. limited liabilities. There isn't one person or a group of people who are obligated to give. The assets of the bank are meshubetz. And since they're only sheba nechasim, the assets of the bank are meshubetz to pay me the interest. There is no person who accepted personal liability to pay this halvoa. The Ramashi says, whenever the loiva doesn't have a shibir aguf, there's no loiva person has a shibir aguf, so there's no isa ribis at all. Not ribis the rice and not ribis the rabban. The rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael don't accept it because it's against the Taisvus in Bava Metzia. The Taisvus says that mid the rabbanim there is such an isa ribis. I'm sure Ramashi had an answer. Ramashi knew ribis by heart. Ramashi was, he knew all the Gemaras by heart. But ribis, he was an extra special expert on that. But I don't know what the answer is. So, but Rav Moshe said there is only on Israeli bonds where you're lending the money to the government of Eretz Yisrael or on a savings account in a bank where the Medinas Yisrael is the loiva. So there's no person or group of people who accepted personal liability. There is no Shibin Aguf. It's only Shibin Nechasim. So then he's matir. But if the bank lends me money and I'm paying interest, so I am an individual, I take a shibir aguf. There, Rav Moshe does not have a head.
Is there a way if someone reads well the interest goes to pay? Is it okay?
If what?
I want to buy a house in Israel.
Yeah.
If you want to get the mortgage, if you read well the interest, you understand what it says, it is okay?
No, the banks are just tying up a sign. Everything is done under heterisk. What do you mean? What are the conditions of the heterisk? You can't have an agreement if you don't have any conditions, if you don't know what it is. So the conditions have to be that I'm buying the bank, I'm buying a house, the shutvis with the bank. We're both shutvim in the house. And they have, the value of the house keeps on going up. So I'm buying from the bank their share in the ownership of the house. So you can arrange it like that, but you have to write that down. You have to write it out to explain what you're doing. You're not borrowing money from the bank. You and the bank are buying a house b'shutfus, and you have the right to buy from the bank every month another percentage of their share in the house. The bank has the right to charge whatever they want, but that's, you have to write it up like that. If you just write it up as a loan and you hang a sign on the wall, this is a heteriska, that is not meaningful. So again, there's a ribbis deraisa, then there are three ribbis derabbanon. So the first ribbis derabbanon is avak ribbis. I lend you $1,000 and no conditions, we didn't stipulate you have to pay anything extra. And the end of the year, you're so appreciative, you pay me an extra bonus. So that's ribbis derabbanon. It's not yotze b'dayanim, but we pass on the Shulchan Aruch like that opinion. And Taisis, that b'bol lotzis yidei shemayim, you should give it back. Then there's another din of ribbis derabbanon. If you lend so'o b'so'o. Let's say, for example, a dentist runs out of silver that he needs for fillings. So he calls up his friend, the dentist, and he asks, could you lend me 3 ounces of silver? And I'll give you back in another couple of months, I'll give you back 3 ounces. So he says, fine. He gives him 3 ounces of silver. Then 3 months later, he gives him back 3 ounces of silver. When he gave me the 3 ounces, when he lent me the 3 ounces of silver, it sold for $300. Now when I'm giving it back, and it sells for $350. So min ha-Torah, that's mutter. He lent me 3 ounces of silver, and I pay him back 3 ounces of silver. If he's lending me money, he lends me $1,000, and I pay him $1,000, that's the definition, that's keren. There's no ribis at all. If he lends me 10 bushels of grain, and I pay him back 10 bushels of grain, that's the keren, there is no ribis. But mid the Rabbanon, they made a chumre, that if he lends me 10 bushels of grain, which are worth $100, and at the end of the year when I give him back 10 bushels of grain, the same grain now costs more than $100, costs $110. So that's an isur of ribis derabbanan. So that's called mechziki ribis. That's called mechziki ribis. It looks like ribis, but it really isn't, because it's really the keren itself. On the level of the rice, that is the keren. So there, you're not allowed to do it. But if you did it, there's nothing to give back because it only looks like ribbis. It's like a marasina ribbis, but it's not really ribbis itself. And then the Gemara has another case that's called ha'aramas ribbis. The Gemara gives an example. Let's say a guy comes to me, he wants to borrow $1,000. I have $1,000. But I say, I don't have $1,000 to lend you, but I'll tell you what, I'm a farmer and I have a lot of wheat, I have bushels and bushels of wheat. I'll tell you what, I'll give you $1,000 worth of bushels of wheat, and you sell it and they make a profit on it. Right? So I give him $1,000 worth of bushels of wheat, he buys it and he owes me $1,000 and he's going to sell it. Then I turn around and I say, ooh, I just found some money in my pocket. I had it all off. I just found some money. You know what? If you don't want to waste your time to go spend hours and hours and days to sell all the wheat, I'll tell you what, I'll buy it back from you for $900. So he gives me back $1,000 a wheat. I'm going to save him so much time. He's not going to have to waste time. So in effect, what did I do? I lent him $900 and he's going to be paying me back $1,000. But the whole thing was behet to gomer. I sold him $1,000 worth of wheat and he owes me the money. Then I bought the wheat back from him for $900. He's happy to do that. Instead of every day selling a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, he gets one customer, buys it all back. But then bottom line, in effect, it's a harama. I really lent him $900, I'm getting back $1,000. So that's what the Gemara calls haramas ribbit. So the Rambam writes, you're not allowed to set up such a dreidel. You're not allowed to set up such a system. But once you set it up, the Rambam's opinion is that you're even allowed to collect it in the end. It's even permissible to collect the money in the end. He can pay me back the $1,000 in the end. So there are three kinds of ribbis derabanan, and each one is different from the other. There's a ribbis deraisa, that's ribbis ketsutza, which is even yotze b'dayonim. And the Rambam thinks that should be counted as a separate mitzvah saseh. The chayach yichayimach, it's not identical with the heishav is hakzela, it's not gezel, special mitzvah. That only applies to the malva, doesn't apply to the yorshim of the malva. Then you have three levels of ribbis derabbanan. People don't realize that they mix up all the ribbis derabbanan. Shulchan Aruch, it's very explicit. There are three different levels. There's avak ribbis, that's not yetzib adayonim, but it's bebod lotzis, so they shemayim should give it back. Then there's mechziki ribbis, by saw b'saw, that you're not allowed to collect it, but once you collected it, you don't have to be, even before Lotz Yisrael Shemayim, you don't pay anything, because there is no Yosem and Akeren. Basically, he just gave him back the Keren. And then there's Haromas Ribis, according to the Rambam, which is a lower form, that it's even permissible. You're not allowed to set it up. It's an act of Haroma. Haroma in English is called the legal fiction. It's legal, but it's a legal fiction. So you're not allowed to set up such a system. But once I set it up, I bought back all of the Tvuah, that's worth $1,000 by giving him $900, then at the end of the year, I'm allowed to collect $1,000 from him. It was prohibited to set it up. Once you set it up, you're allowed to even collect it. Those are the four kinds of ribbis. Okay, let's take a look. The Rambam gives you the list of what he thinks are the 365 mitzvahs loisese, and the Ramban deletes quite a few of those. And then he adds on at the end, again, 17 mitzvahs loisaseh, which he thinks the Rambam forgot. But there are many more. The numbers are not accurate. The Ramban is not sure. Everything is questionable over here. How many are we deleting? How many are adding on? At the end of the Minyan Halavin, Ramban goes again, a list of at least 17 mitzvahs loisaseh, which he thinks the Rambam forgot to count. So the first is, he quotes a pasuk, Chumash Devarim, that says, Yisham Alucho, he writes, Mitzvah Slaisase Aleph, Shinim Nona, we are prohibited, Shalom Yishkach Mena Emunas Alakus. We shouldn't forget our belief in God. Yisham Alucho, Pentishkach As Hashem Alakecho, Asher Hotziacham Meeretz Mitzrayim, Mi Beis Avodim. We should be careful not to forget God who took us out of Egypt. What does that mean? Ramban writes a brief paragraph. He says, Yitzias Mitzrayim was witnessed not just by a small group of people, by all of our ancestors, by several million people. There were Shishim Ribo men, there were 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60, because when they took the census after Yitzias Mitzrayim, there were 600,000. There were women, there were children, young in the age of 20. You're not children. Before the age of 20, there were many people. Then above the age of 60, there were many people. Then there was an Erev Rav who came out of Mitzrayim also. So we are all descendants of that big crowd of people with the Erev Rav. If 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60, must have been at least 2 million people. Big crowd of people. So all the nisim and employers of the Esen Makis and the Kriyas Yamsuf, everything was witnessed by this big crowd of people. And we have a historical tradition from our forefathers. I knew all of my four grandparents. I knew my mother's parents raised me for a couple of years. We lived in Philadelphia. There was no yeshiva. So my parents sent me to New York to stay by my grandparents to be able to go to yeshiva. I knew my other grandparents also. They lived in Williamsburg for a couple of years. So I knew all of my four grandparents. They were nice people. They were honest people. They were not kibbutzes. They had a good sense of humor, but they were not pulling my leg. And they told me that they heard from their parents and their grandparents, or heard from their grandparents, all the stories of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Maamin Hasina, and Kriyas Yamsuf. So we know that these are historical truths, and all of the incidents of Yetzias Mitzrayim demonstrate all the Ikori Huamuna. On Pesach night, there's a mitzvah to tell over Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches us all the Ikori Huamuna. Teaches us that God exists, because there was a supernatural power that was making all these miracles. And God can change nature means that God created the world. God is the Balabas. He didn't create the world. How can he change the rules of nature? And God knows what's happening in the world, and he rewards the righteous and he punishes the wicked. There's Chayav Yoinesh, there's Yediyah, and God is a good God. That's why he punishes the Rishoyim. So all of these principles of faith were demonstrated on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we have this pasuk in the Torah. Yishama lecha, whenever it says Yishama pen v'yal, that's a loisa essay. So the Torah says Yishama lecha, you should be careful. Pen tishkach as Hashem alakecha, asher hotziyacha mi'eretz Mitzrayim beis avadin. Means don't forget all of the Ikori Hemunah which became obvious and evident and apparent, which were demonstrated on the occasion of the Esen Makis. The Ramban says that that's a special mitzvah lesson, so do not forget. Talk about the stories of Yetzias Mitzrayim in such a way that you should not forget the Amunah, and you shouldn't have any sveikas. Shalom nishkach ikar helikus, we shouldn't forget. V'nichbaba, we should deny. Oshin is topic, but we shouldn't have any sveikas. We should always review in our minds to make sure we don't forget. So why did the Rambam forget to count this law? So the Megillah says that tries to defend the Rambam. So he says the Rambam wrote in the Shoroshim, in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he gives the 14 rules, the 14 klolim, to determine what belongs in the list of the minyan mitzvahs, what doesn't belong. So the Rambam says, when something is a general mitzvah klolis, it says in the Torah, keep all the mitzvahs. The shmatim is called mitzvah yisav asisim oisim. That's a general mitzvah. That doesn't count as a... You only count mitzvahs pratiyos. So the Megillah says to suggest, the Rambam probably understood that this is a general... The Ramban himself says like that, but he doesn't like that. Ramban doesn't like that answer. He says, the Rambam probably thought that this is a mitzvah klolis. Be careful not to forget. It says, means be careful, keep all the mitzvahs. It's just a pep talk. It's just a zeros that we should observe all the mitzvahs at Torah. Then the Ramban has mitzvah base, another loisese, which is similar to Aleph. Just like in mitzvah Aleph that he listed, he says, Yishom lecha, pen tishkach asar Hashem alakecha, shehotziyach mi'eretz Mitzrayim, mi'beis avadim. So there's another pasuk, Yishom lecha, shma nafshcha miyod, pen tishkach asar dvar masharo einecha, v'insurim lebavcha kol v'imecha yecha, v'haydaitam levonecha, v'levnei v'anecha yom asher amarato, lefnei Hashem alakecha b'choreh. We should be careful not to forget Maamin Hasina. We should tell our children, Vaidaitem Levanecha, Vilevne Vanecha. When you'll be married and you have children, you have an obligation to tell your children the story of Maamin Hasinai, and tell to your grandchildren also, when you have grandchildren. It's a mitzvah to tell your children and your grandchildren all about Maamin Hasina. So the Ramban writes, there is a Gemara in Kiddushin in the first parak, but the Gemara talks about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah we should learn Torah. There's a mitzvah of Amarat Moses B'nechem. We should teach our children Torah. There's a mitzvah Vishinantam Levanecha. That doesn't go on children. Amarat Moses B'nechem goes on your biological children. Vishinantam Levanecha, the Gemara says, goes on Talmidim. That who? Not biological children. Because Vishinantam means Michudodim Meficha. Not every parent is so sharp that he knows how to drill the Torah into his children. Not every child is so sharp that he knows how to pick it up. So Vishinantam Alafanasa Shayu Shinana Vichudad Meficha, that's in the yeshiva setting. The Rebbe should teach Torah to the Talmidim. That's a chelik of the first parsha of Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. The second parsha is Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. So in the first parsha, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, there it talks about Vishinantam Alafanasa teaching Torah to the Talmidim in the yeshivas. But the Martim Alasanas Benechem, you should teach Torah to your children, biological children. That's not Kabbalah's all Malchus Shemayim. That's Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. You should teach the Torah to the children. So the Gemara says that one who teaches Torah to his children is to his grandchildren. So it's Ki'ilu Kibla Mi Har Sinai. Because it says, Vahidaitam Levanecha Velevnei Vanecha Yom Asher Marta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Bechorim. The simple reading of the Parsha means something else. Yisham Elokho, if you read the whole Parsha, it says, Yisham Elokho Shema Nafshach Mayod Pentishka chasa dvar mesharoi enecha v'ainsu mevachol kol yimecha yecho v'hidaitam levnech v'levnech v'levnech yom shamata v'shneim lakech b'cherib. You should tell your children and your grandchildren about Maimon HaSinai. Tell them what you heard from your parents and your grandparents about Maimon HaSinai. That's the simple pshat. So the Gemara says, if a father teaches his children and he teaches his grandchildren, so the children and their grandchildren will be zoche as if they received the Torah directly from HaSinai. That's not the pasha pshat in the pasuk. But the Gemara is taking the pasuk as if it's referring to Talmud Torah. So the Ramban says, yeah, he understands that. He understands that. A part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to teach over the stories that appear in the Torah that are relevant. To tell about Yitzias Ben Simon, Maimah Hasina. That's also a chelik of Talmud Torah. To transmit the dinim, the halachas, and transmit the stories that have to transmit Yikori Hamunah. But the Ramban still thinks that this is a separate mitzvah slice essay, not to forget Maimon HaSinai. He doesn't think it should be swallowed up by the general mitzvah of teaching Torah to others. Even though the Gemara does have an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk, he says, yeah, that's an additional interpretation. But the Pshuto Shel Mikra implies that it's a special mitzvah slice essay, not to forget Maimon HaSinai. According to the Ramban Achumish, here he doesn't have it. In the Minyan Mitzvah says he doesn't have it. But Achumish, he says, there's a mitzvah in Torah, just like there's a mitzvah in Torah to read about Amalek. We assume once a year, every year. So there's a mitzvah in Torah to read about Maimon HaSinai. That's a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. Every year we fulfill it either by reading on Shavuos about Maimon HaSinai, or by reading on Parshas Yisro, Maimon HaSinai, or by reading Parshas Veschanan. They're three times a year. So if someone missed one or two of the times during the year, you can always hear the third time. We fulfill the mitzvah three times a year to read about Maimon HaSinai. Ramban Achumish writes that he thinks that that's a mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs, to learn Parshas Kriyas Maimon HaSinai once a year, every year. Someone wanted to comment something? Then the Ramban has Mitzvah Gimel. This is a surprise mitzvah. Pulled it out from nowhere. The Ramban says, the Rambam forgot to count a mitzvah that appears in Truman Tetzaveh. It says, in the end of Chumash Mos, you have in Truman Tetzaveh the Tzivuim about constructing the Mishkan. By Yaakov Pikud, it says that the Jewish people constructed the Mishkan according to the instructions of Truman Tetzaveh. So there's a pasuk over there that's very obscure. It says, "V'chol she'amarti aleichem tisha meiru," and Parshas Kisisa. What in the world is that referring to? "V'chol she'amarti aleichem tisha meiru." You should observe everything that I told you. What's it talking about? You should keep all the mitzvahs. So the Ramban quotes: there is one opinion in the Gemara in the first perek in Shabbos. The Gemara says it could be that Beis Shammai say like this: there's an isa derais of shvisas kelim. That just like there's a din of shvisas behemta, if I have an animal, and I'm a farmer, I have an animal, and my next door neighbor is not Jewish, and we get along very well, I use his tractor, he uses my tractor, I use his behemoth, he uses my behemoth, we have an agreement. So on Shabbos, I find out that he's using my behemoth to do malacha, to plow or to plant or something. So the Gemara says, I have to tell him to stop. It's my avera, shvisas behemta, my behemoth is involved in a malacha on Shabbos. That's a pasuk on Aseres Adibus. I have to see to it my behemoth doesn't do malacha. I have to either get him to stop, or if I can't get him to stop, the Gemara says I have to be mafka the behema. I don't have to tell the goy I'm mafka the behema. He'll be zeichem and hefka. I should tell a group of Jews I'm mafka the behema in order that I shouldn't be in violation of shvisas behemto. So that everybody agrees to. That's a pasuk in Aseres Adibris. Ato behemtecho. Shvisas behemto. You're not allowed to allow. You're not allowed to permit your behema to do malacha on Shabbos. What about shvisas kelim? Let's say I have the washing machine where I do all the laundry. I put in all the dirty laundry. You're not allowed to wash clothing on Shabbos. That's malabin, one of the 39 malachas. So I push the button on Erev Shabbos and I bench lift and I mekabel Shabbos. And the laundry is getting washed on Shabbos. So that's a machlekes in the Mishnah Bishame Bisil, the end of the first perek in Masechus Shabbos, the last Mishnah. We pass like Besilil, it's mutter. Beishamah say you're not allowed to. So the Gemara explains Beishamah's opinion, Shvisas Kelim, just like the Zedin of Shvisas Behemto, I'm not permitted to allow my behema to be involved in a malacha, so I'm not permitted to allow my machinery, my Kelim, to be involved in a malacha. And where is there a mocker in the Chumash? So Beishamah somehow see this in the Pasuk, V'chol asher amarte alechem tishameru. They understand that goes on Shvisas Kelim. So we don't accept Beis Shammai's opinion. We say it's permissible to push the button on the washing machine to do the laundry if you push the button on Erev Shabbos. So what does the pasuk mean? So the Megillah says the quotes. If you look in the Megillah on that pasuk, the Tanoim have a big machlokes, and each Tana has a different interpretation. So the Ramban, for some unknown reason, has decided to adopt the position of one of the Tanoim. That lav v'chol hashem he shomer pen v'yal is a lav, so he understands like the Tanu says v'chol hashem arta lechem tishameru is a prohibition to be mishana the seder hakelim in the mishkan in the Beis Hamikdash. If you put the mizbach hanachoshes, if you put the mizbach hazahav where the oren is, and you put the oren where the kiyor is, and if you put the kiyor where the shulchan is, you put the shulchan where the menorah is, put the menorah outside. If you put one of the kelim in the wrong place, you're in violation of a lav. So the Ramban jumps on the Rambam. Why didn't he count the lav, as is explained in the Mechilta? So the Megillah Esther says, but there are five opinions in the Mechilta. What the Pasuk is talking about. The Rambam never quoted that din bechlal. If you put all the kelim in the wrong place, you're not yotze the mitzvah of Asiyas HaMishkan. Who says you have an avera? One Tan interprets that that's what this lav means. B'chol shamarat alechem. Tishameru, it's an asara not to be mishane seder hanochas hakelim b'mishkan b'shulchan b'menor b'hamizbochas. He says all the other tanoim disagree. So he says the Rambam apparently never accepted that opinion from the Mechilta.
What about a dishwasher where you set it before Shabbos and then you pack it and then you close it and then it's restored after Shabbos? Is that
one problem is that the dishwasher, if you set it on the Shabbos clock, the dishwasher will not go on unless you close the door. It's against the law for them to manufacture a dishwasher that can go on, that can run when the door is open, because someone by mistake may leave his hand in and he'll break his hand off, he'll break his fingers off. So that's why it's extremely unsafe and it's against the law. So some rabbanim say, if by closing the law, by closing the door to the dishwasher, you will enable the circuit to be completed at 2 o'clock in the morning, let's say everybody finishes eating at 12 o'clock, they go to sleep, and the dishwasher is going to start washing the dishes 2 o'clock in the morning. So if you have to close the door in order that it should start to function at 2 o'clock, if you don't close the door, it's not going to work. Then you're doing a malacha by closing the door. You're enabling the circuit to be completed. And that's already awesome. So some rabbanim say, well, we'll violate the din of the machusa, which is not so smart. Some, you have children, they can break their hands. They can lose all their fingers if the thing will be running when the door is open. So some rabbanim say, we don't have to follow the din of the machusa. Get a mechanic to change the system that the dishwasher start to function at 2 o'clock, even if the door will not be closed. So you're closing the door, prevents all the water from spilling on the floor, but it will not cause the motor to go. The machinery is going to start anyway. So the only problem that's involved is, the Gemara says, even though Beis Hillel say it is permissible to start a system where a malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if you set up a water mill, the river is flowing in this direction, so you put a mill, you put a big wheel, and because the water keeps on getting caught in each section of the mill, so this can cause power. So that's how years ago, that's how they had a water mill. Now we have electrical mills, people still have water mills. So the Gemara says, if you have such a water mill and it's going to grind on Shabbos, Trinas and Malacha, and if it makes a big racket, it makes a lot of noise, and it draws attention to the fact that Malacha is taking place on Shabbos, then it's Avshel Milsa, so you're not allowed to do that. So that's the problem over here. The dishwasher makes noise when it functions. So some of the Rabbanim say, if you set the whole dishwasher in such a way that it's going to start doing the dishes at 2 o'clock in the morning, the neighbors won't hear the noise, nobody in the house, nobody in your partner is going to hear the noise. So there is no option also. So some Rabbanim think that it's permissible. There is a Rambam, the Rambam in addition to the Sefer HaMitzvos, which he wrote in Arabic, and the Pirush HaMishnayos, which he wrote in Arabic, and the Mishnah Torah, which he wrote in Hebrew, Mishnei Hebrew, the Rambam has a commentary on Masechet Shabbos, which was written in Aramaic, in Talmudic Aramaic, not like Tosis and the Rashbo's Aramaic, Talmudic Aramaic. So this Pirush HaRambam on Masechet Shabbos on the Gemara was printed from manuscript about 70, 80 years ago, in the early 1900s. So the Rambam, that's when they discovered it. So the Rambam writes, he repeats it three times on that Mishnah, the end of the first Perek in Shabbos. He says, even though Bisila permit you to set up a system on Erev Shabbos, where the Malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos, but they would not permit you to set up a system where the Malacha begins in the middle of Shabbos. The Malacha, he set up a system, the Malacha begins in the middle of Shabbos, even Bisila would agree to Beis Shammai that that's not permissible. So that's a problem over here. You set up a system where the where the machine, where the circuit is going to be completed at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then the motor is going to start to function. So that's, according to the Rambam, that's not allowed. So this was before they found that manuscript of the Rambam, this was a big machlokes in Europe, when they first came up with Shabbos clocks. So the Rabbanim had a machlokes, maybe an ally to set a Shabbos clock, if I have a Shabbos clock, that the light should go off at 12 o'clock at night. So that's like lighting a candle. A candle goes out after 5 hours. So the lights are on Erev Shabbos, the lights go off. Then I have a Shabbos clock. I want the lights to go on tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock because we're going to come home at 11:30. You want to say Kiddush. So I want the lights to go off Friday night. That's not a problem. The lights are only going to be on for a couple of hours. But then I want the lights to begin to go on in the middle of Shabbos. So didn't I set up a system where Malacha begins in the middle of Shabbos? So this was a big machlokes before they knew about this Pirush HaRambam. So the Rabbanim in Europe wrote in the Torah journals, and the majority, the overwhelming majority, said Lahakel. So they assumed that it was Mutter. Then they found the Pirush HaRambam. Professor Simcha Asaf used to be in the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael. He was a big professor in Jewish history also. So he published this Pirush HaRambam on Masechet Shabbos. So everybody was shaken up a little bit. The Rambam says the Chumrah. You're not allowed to set up a system where the Malacha begins in the middle of Shabbos. So the Rabbanim said, look, we didn't know about the Rambam. We voted that it's Lahakel, so they left it Lahakel. It's Mutter. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, he didn't know either about the Rambam till the end of his life. He never quotes this Rambam. So he writes, if the Tanoim would have lived in our generation, he thinks they would have prohibited Shabbos clocks. It's a terrible thing. He doesn't think we should use any Shabbos clocks. But it's Mekubal HaTeirah. Everybody knows that we accepted Lahakel. Moshe says, it's only Mekubal LaHeterah for turning on lights because that enhances, quote, Shabbos, that the house should be lit up. But let's say to use a Shabbos clock, if you have a VCR and there's a football game on TV or there's a play or there's some kind of the Three Stooges or something, and you're going to miss it, so you want it to, with your VCR, you want to make a copy of it, and your TV is in the basement, so no one's going to be there. It's going to a little click on, a little click off. No one's going to see anything. No one's going to hear anything. So it's not going to interfere with the quote Shabbos. Rav Moshe says, not allowed. He says, you're setting up a system using a Shabbos clock, which is not enhancing quote Shabbos, just for secular purposes. He thinks he shouldn't do it. So that's a shaila. What about the dishwasher? So the women say, the dishwasher certainly does enhance quote Shabbos. They don't want to stand there for an hour and wash all the dishes. The husbands, the Rabbanim, never do the dishes. They say, how does it enhance Kol Shabbos? That's Rav Moshe says, you shouldn't use a Shabbos clock to turn on an air conditioner. It doesn't enhance Kol Shabbos, because Rav Moshe was an old man when he first got an air conditioner. So he thought this is like icing on top of the cake. He can live without an air conditioner. He doesn't need the whole thing. The younger people who are born into air conditioners, we can't imagine how can anybody live without an air conditioner. Because the air conditioner enhances Kol Shabbos.
What would we consider a DVR that sets record TV on Shabbos?
What?
Like
what?
A DVR or a...
I'm not familiar. What's a DVR that does what?
It records TV shows, and it can be set to
TV
record Shabbos.
On, but
right, right. Yeah. So that's where Moshe thinks he's not allowed to do that. That's a malacha, and he thinks that that's not proper to use a Shabbos clock in a case where it does not enhance Kol Shabbos. He thinks that it's not permissible. Most of the Rabbanim say it is permissible. He wrote in his tshuva it's not permissible. Okay, we'll stop here at Mitzvah Gimel.
Also, the thing about DVR.